Grace and peace be with you from God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. That is incorrect. The title of my sermon this morning is based on the gospel, and it is called Hearing the Gospel, just in case you were curious. Must be a slide left over from some other service. Years ago, whenever I was first studying Greek, I had a professor there that told me that learning Greek was like watching toast. And I have to admit, at first, I didn't agree. I didn't believe him. But as it turns out, he was correct. Now, what he was saying when he said it was like watching toast is this. Have you ever watched toast? Have you ever been putting your oven on broil and you just watch waiting and waiting? And you guys know exactly how it is. There's no toast. And then all of a sudden, like the snap of your fingers, there's toast. And then another snap of your fingers, and you've already burned it all. So the second you see toast, you better be pulling it out of the oven or what have you. But he was right. That was exactly how it was. When I first started, I just didn't get it. And I really didn't get it. In fact, the school supplied tutors, and we had two different tutors that met on various nights of the week, and I went to both of them because I didn't get it. It took me 2-3 weeks in, going to class every day, going to visit a tutor almost every single night, before finally it felt like something in my brain snapped, and all of a sudden, it all made sense. Didn't mean I knew it all, just meant that it made sense. And that was the whole toast analogy. And that was exactly what he was talking about. It wouldn't make sense, it wouldn't make sense, it wouldn't make sense. And then all of a sudden, it was like something got out of the way, and all of a sudden, it made sense. During those first weeks, if I could have had Jesus there, saying one word to be opened and have my brain just open up to where I could understand it, to where I could see it for what it was, I would have done it in a heartbeat. To have that struggle, to have that strife, all for that aha moment, that one moment where it all finally clicks into place and makes sense. The man in our gospel today has a lot of things that are blocking him from hearing the good news. He has a lot of things that are blocking him from hearing the words of Jesus. Now, admittedly, first thing you think of is, well, of course, Pastor Chris, he's deaf. He cannot hear. So, of course, there's something that's blocking him. He's got a speech impediment. So, of course, there's something that's blocking him. But you see, there's so much more than just that. This man, first of all, he lived in a culture by the Decapolis. This is not a Jewish culture. This is not a Jewish area. So he's blocked even from where he lives from hearing the good news. And even more, as you consider to think about the culture of the day, you'll begin to realize that this man was also believed to be cursed. You see, when you were born deaf, or if you became deaf later in life, it was presumed that God didn't like you. That you had done some heinous, awful thing. And that's what happens. Whenever you do something awful, God takes your eyesight away. Or he takes your hearing away. Or he takes your ability to speak away. Even people that were born that way, the big question of the day was, did that person do it? Or did his parents do it? Was this somehow punishment for his parents' sin? And we see that at other places throughout the Gospels. So, all of the things that we might think of to break that impediment, to break that ability so that he could hear the gospel, put him in the place of the culture. And all of a sudden it seems different. You think, well, maybe he just understood sign language really well. Who's going to sit there and teach him? Who's going to teach that man sign language? He's a man cursed by God. Who wants to hang around him? What if God decides to strike somebody else down as well? He didn't just have impediments. He was being blocked on all fronts, through all mechanisms. And so here we have Jesus walking from one Gentile region, going across the Sea of Galilee to another Gentile region, finding a man who a lot of people believed was cursed by God. And what does Jesus do? He takes him away privately, and he begins by sticking his fingers into his ears. Jesus begins to do a form of sign language. He begins to, in essence, explain where this is coming from, that he is about to receive hearing from God. Even before Jesus heals the man, he expresses to him that he is not being cursed by God, but in fact his healing comes from God. He is hearing the good news of Jesus even before he receives his hearing and he receives his speech. His impediments are no longer blocked. A lot of times when we look at the miracles, all we can think about is about how this proves that Jesus is God. And certainly it does. And certainly this shows the sovereignty of God, but it also shows the mercy of God. That he would approach somebody who was so outcast, so blocked, and yet he would show mercy and grace even to him, to express the good news to him, and to even show to him that God loves him. So the question then comes to us today. What is blocking us from hearing the gospel? What is blocking us from hearing the good news? Oh, we could talk about church attendance and we could talk about things like that, but I want to go even deeper than that. What are some of the things that block you from hearing the good news? What are some of those things that when you hear that you have been saved by grace alone, that get into your own mind and say, no, probably not me. Maybe some sin that you have in your past that you never bring up, that you never talk about. And anytime somebody says, don't you know that you're saved through Christ? You say, well, in the back of your mind, you kind of go, well, not me. I'm not saved. Do you know what I did? Do you know who I am? What's blocking you this day? What's keeping you from hearing the good news of Jesus? From hearing again that Jesus loves you, that Jesus went to the cross for you, that he died for you. Maybe it's a work thing. We all know how the world works. You work, you earn a wage. How can it be that Jesus died for us without asking anything in return? How can that be? Maybe it's a conceptualized thing. Maybe it's a political thing. Maybe it's fill in the blank. But the question is what's blocking you from hearing the good news of Jesus? What's blocking you from hearing again and again that good news? Jesus died for you. Jesus cleanses you through his blood. Jesus forgives you of your sin, even that sin. Even that sin that you hold on to in the back of your mind that you say, surely not this one, even that one. Jesus died for you, that you would have eternal life through him. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. At this time, please stand as we now confess our common